Well, don't lose your passion, part two. Last week we talked about not losing your passion like Solomon did. Remember the book, we know Solomon and his story, and he started off really, really awesome. And along the way, he lost his passion for his relationship with God. And we know the story of Solomon. He was known as a man of great wisdom, but he had a problem, and he lost his focus. And we as Christians want to make sure that we keep our passion for Jesus, our relationship with God, that passionate relationship with God, number one in our lives and strong in our lives. Amen? And you just don't wake up every morning and it happens. You literally have to think about this, right? As Christians, we got to think when we pray, Lord, am I putting you first? Lord, analyzing your heart. These are important things to do in your growing process as a Christian. And it's important that you never stop seeking a greater relationship with God or seeking more knowledge and wisdom and understanding. Don't stop. And that might sound like, well, that's common sense. But you know, there's a lot of Christians out there that don't want to keep growing. Did you know that? They kind of just want to get to heaven and that's it. Like, I'm saved. I did it. Good. Don't ask me to do anything else. Okay, Jesus is Lord. Okay. And they're hoping they're going to get in there. That's not the way to live your Christian life. Amen? I don't want this church to ever be comfortable just going through the motions. Because when you go through the motions, the enemy has a field day. And he goes and attacks and he tries to confuse us. And to trick us. So it's important to stay strong in your passion for Jesus Christ. So everyone have your notes with you? All right? All right, good. So don't forget to write something down. Take the notes home. Pray in your prayer time. The Lord will speak to you. And if he speaks to you a thought or if I say a sentence or a phrase, you're like, I need to remember that. Write it down and go home and pray. Pray about it. See, these are the things that will help you just keep growing, keeping God in your life outside of the church. And that's also important that you keep a strong relationship with God outside of these walls. That's critical for Christian health, is keeping your relationship with God outside of Sunday morning. That's important, very important. So the main point today, be aware that keeping a strong passion for God requires commitment to put God first. You know, you got to try to put God first. You got to actually have a plan to put God first in your life. You have to be intentional. I love that word. I heard it one time by Brother Westbrook a long time ago, and he said something about intentional. You got to be intentional, and I never left me. And now every time I speak, that word comes out every now and then. Intentional. You have to be intentional. You have to have purpose in your relationship and your passion for God. Amen? You got to have purpose and passion. So be aware that you got to keep things strong with God, your relationship strong, you have to have a commitment to put him first. Now, what is passion? The dictionary on Google, we don't call it Webster's Dictionary anymore. We call it Google, right? Or there's still some other search engines like Bing and other ones, but somehow Google gets all the searches. I don't know why. But okay. In Google Dictionary, passion, any powerful or compelling emotion or feeling for something. So when you have a powerful emotion or feeling or commitment to something, that's passion. How many of you have a powerful commitment, emotion about your relationship with God? Amen? That's what we're talking about here. We have to keep that strong, right? And if you don't work at it, it fizzles away. It happens in marriages too, right? If you don't work at it, it fizzles away or you go through the motions. And everybody has to go through this in life. You got to be intentional. What's most important to you? What is most important to you? Your relationship with God has to be number one. Has to be number one. Why does it need to be number one? Why do I think it should be number one? It's not because it's my great idea. It's because the very first commandment in Exodus chapter 20, Verse 3, the very first commandment. Why do you think it was the first commandment of the Ten Commandments? Because it's probably the most important thing. And it says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. Well, let me just read verse 3. It says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Right? Why does God need to be number one? It says right there. To be obedient to God, you got to put him number one. Have nothing before him. Have nothing before him. Amen. There's a reason this first commandment is the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. It is clear in Scripture that God wants our number one passion to be for him. Right? Your first underline is what? Passion. It is clear in Scripture that God wants our number one passion to be for him. Don't let money or relationships, even a husband and wife can't be number one. Try it that way. It'll fall apart just pretty quickly too. Jesus Christ, number one in your life. When you do that, he gives you what you need to love your wife or to love your spouse or to love the relationships in your life. It works that way. God first, and then you pour out everything else. And that's how God designed us. He designed us this way. So don't let anything get in the way. Not money, not relationships, not fame, no material things, not the mall, not sports, right? I say the mall for the women and the sports for the guy, but sometimes they go both ways, shopping, sports. Don't let anything be first or more important in your life than that, than Jesus Christ. Don't let anything be a greater passion. It always needs to be God first in your life. So I have a little story for you, and I've said this before, but a lot of you haven't heard this story. A lot of new people here. So I'll say it again. When I first started a serious relationship with Jesus Christ, I mean, I grew up in church. My mom, who sits in the back row in the middle very quietly every week. Hi, Mom. Hi. Thank you for raising your hand. She brought us to this church when I was about 5 years old, February 1976. And the reason I remember is because there was a sign-in book, and I would always go look at it as a kid. Oh, look, we signed up here. 5 years later, it was still there, February 1976. And she brought us in here. And I just learned all about God in Sunday school, which was awesome. But there was a point in my life where I had to decide, was I going to be a lukewarm Christian, or was I going to just follow God, surrender everything, put him number one? I had a choice to make. I knew I had hit a crossroad in my life. And I was there, and I was ready, and I surrendered, and I'll go fast forward through that part of my story. But God got a hold of me. And I started reading my Bible and praying every day, right? Being intentional about my relationship with God. Not knowing what was going to happen. I just said, I know I'm supposed to do this, so I'm going to do it. Every day I pull out my Bible, I start reading it. And after 2 weeks or so, I remember one night specifically, and that's why I'm telling you the story. You can't put anything before God. One night, because I was a huger Houston Astros fan when I was younger. I still love them now, but I don't watch them or listen to them every day. But back then, I would listen to their games all the time. All the time. Every night, you know, 3 hours a night, I would listen because I was a huge fan. I loved baseball. I grew up, I played varsity baseball in high school. I just loved baseball, right? It's not a bad thing. It's not a sin, is it? Well, it can be, right? That's where I'm going with this, right? Well, so what happened was, here I was praying and reading every day, and I was excited, and then the game was going to come on, and one night, particular night, I was going to read my Bible and pray after the game. That was my plan. I had it all planned out. I was intentionally planning that out. And I turned on my radio, because back then we listened. I didn't have cable, right? Mom couldn't afford cable, so we didn't have cable. But I had a radio, and it was on radio. And I was listening one night. And I started feeling a little conviction, like, I need to be praying and reading. What are you doing? Well, the game's almost over, right? It's like 9 o'clock, 9:30. Oh, cool. Well, guess what? They went into extra innings. Oh, and I felt I got to read my Bible and pray. I made this commitment. I'm going to do it every day. And next thing I know, it's 9 innings, 10 innings, 11 innings, 12 innings, 13 innings. It's getting close to midnight. 14 innings. I think the game ended up 16 inning, 18 inning game, something like that. It was like historic. It just kept going. Well, around 12:30 or so at night, I'm like, wait, am I going to pray today? The game's going on. So, you know, I was now having a little chat. God was starting to challenge me about my who's really first, right? And guess what happened? My radio just stopped. It wasn't on battery. It was on electrical. It just stopped. And when it stopped, I didn't even bother to check why it stopped. I knew for some reason at that moment, at that time, I needed to pray and read. I knew it was a sign from God. Don't ask me how I just knew. And I learned a big lesson on that day. You know, if you're going to start saying you have God first, He's going to start challenging you. And I did. I stopped, whatever. I prayed. I read my Bible. I didn't even get to hear the end of the game because it, like, went on until 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. And I remember that moment, and I was challenged. And when I was praying that night and reading my Bible that night, that's what I was praying about. Lord, help me to put you first. And it was a big moment in my life. It sounds kind of like that's kind of weird, but no. We all have those things in our lives, right? That we put a lot of time into, and we put it sometimes before God, not on purpose, not because we're bad people, but what I'm talking about here, church, what God is trying to get us to understand is that a commitment to put God first is real, and it's serious, and it's powerful, and it's meaningful, and it is what God is asking us to do in the first commandment. Thou shalt have nothing before Him. Amen? Amen. And I learned a lesson with my radio. And to this day, because the next day, the radio worked just fine. I don't know what happened. I'm just going to have to say it was God. Just stopped working. But that's how important it is to put God first. It's in the commandment, and it's a passion we need to keep in Him. So in order to keep God first in your life, it's very important to know your weaknesses, right? We need to know our weaknesses. And let's just, at a high level, let's just read some of those weaknesses that we all have in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Praise the Lord. We all have this weakness. It's called sin, right? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. Right? No one in this room can claim that they have never sinned. Right? If you ever hear somebody say that they have never sinned, that's when I warn you. Like, run away from them, right? Just bye-bye. Don't listen to them. For all have sinned. That's a weakness. You got to know your weaknesses. We're all humans. We all have a human nature, and we have a tendency to give passion to ungodly things, right? You have to admit that. If you can't admit that, you know, you're not going to be able to move on, right? We have a tendency, our sinful nature, to give passion to ungodly things, right? And yes, Adam and Eve started it. It's all their fault, right? They started it. But we have, that's in our nature, in our sinful nature, not in our godly nature, which we'll get into in a moment. So like addictions, self-satisfaction, like power, fame, pornography, love of money, love of attention. You know, there are people in relationships that shouldn't be in relationships because they always just need to have attention, right, to them. And we shouldn't let that control us. We should always be asking God to lead us into our relationships, asking God to lead us to good relationships with others. Desire to be accepted, right? That's why people join gangs sometimes, right? They just want to be accepted. Their family is neglecting them, and, And the gang will accept them, right? And then, of course, they do awful things, but they're accepted. And sometimes that's what people look for, to be accepted. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it's clear that we've all sinned and fallen short of His glory. And according to Scripture, go to Romans chapter 8, verse 7, just a few down. And this is one of our weaknesses as people with a sinful nature. And it is this. Our carnal mind, because the carnal mind is enmity. You know what enmity is? It's against God. It's the enemy of God, right? Working against God. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Our carnal mind, in other words, let me say it this way. Your thought process, your decision-making process, without God, is sinful and will work against God. Amen. Well, that's hard to admit, isn't it? Like, hey, don't pick on me like that. You have to know the enemy is tricky. And you have to know that we have a sinful nature, and that every day you got to wake up and ask God to empower you by His Holy Spirit. You have to know that going into this battle to put God first in your life. And it's important not to just go through the motions, but to know your weaknesses. We are human beings with a sinful nature, but here's the good news. Now let's talk about your strengths. Here's the good news. Know your strength. The good news is that Jesus rose from the dead, and He conquered sin, death, the grave, and as Christians, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to overcome sin. So you underline there in your notes, you can write in sin. We are empowered to overcome sin and darkness in our lives. Amen? Make sure your number one passion is to be led by the Spirit of God into all truth and not your own self-satisfaction, not your own carnal way. See, the truth is that we all need a Savior. We're all sinners. But the other great truth and the good news of the gospel is that despite of our sinfulness, we have an opportunity to be sinless and righteous before God. Isn't that good news? Amen. Because if that wasn't so, we would not be going to heaven in eternity with God in His presence. But because of Jesus, we can. And that's the good news. So it's good to know your weaknesses. You have a natural, sinful nature that tries to do things against God. But know your strength as a Christian. Jesus said, I will send you the Holy Spirit to lead you into all truth, to empower you, to make you bold for Him, and you will be overcomers. You will be victorious. You will win. There's victory in Jesus' name. Amen? So that's the good news. So it's good to know your weaknesses, but it's good to know who is your strength. And it's Jesus Christ in you, empowered by the Holy Spirit. So let's look at this. Adam and Eve, go to Genesis chapter 2. I'm sure everyone can find Genesis chapter 2, verse 21. Genesis chapter 2, verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And Adam slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. That sounds like surgery, doesn't it? And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his wife and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife and they were not ashamed. Chapter 3, verse 1. Let's move on in the story. Now, the serpent, or better known as the devil, was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of this of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good from evil. And when the woman saw that there was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them were both open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed leaves together and made themselves aprons or clothes or coverings. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I had heard the voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And God said to them, who told thee thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, it was the serpent that tricked me, and I did eat. The blame game. Does that sound familiar, by the way? It's never our fault. Right? We took Adam and Eve's human nature, and we still have it today. So childish, right? It's an interesting story that I want to relate to passion. No doubt that Adam and Eve, they loved God. They walked in the cool of the day with God. They had a good relationship with God. They were doing awesome. Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, and beautiful fruit all over the place, and they were just told, don't eat that one. And however, Adam and Eve, for one moment, took their eyes off of God and changed their passion and shifted to something that was enticing. For that one moment, they switched. The passion for God being number one, just for that one moment, just turned it off. God became number two. And what happened? The enemy came in right there. That's a lesson right there. Whenever you take your eyes off of God for that one moment in your life, when you begin to go through that lukewarm status in life, and you begin to kind of push God to the side and do your own thing, you know what's going to happen? The enemy is going to come right in, as subtle as he is, but he's not going to come in the pitchfork and a tail and horns. He's going to come in with a nice, shiny, red apple. It never says apple, by the way, but a shiny red apple, right? Fruit. And it's going to look enticing. It's going to look comforting. It's going to look good. It's going to look satisfying. But whenever you take your passion off putting God number one, that's when the enemy comes in and starts putting in doubt, starts putting in fear, starts putting in turmoil and no peace. It's good for a second, but the only true peace, Jesus is peace. Jesus is the answer. So when you take your eyes off of him, that's what they did. They took their eyes off of their relationship with God for one second, and the enemy came and tricked them. Don't let that be you. Be wise. Adam and Eve took their eyes off their relationship with God for one moment. Their number one passion for that moment was something else other than God. First, the enemy tempted Eve. And she developed a passion of enjoying a fruit instead, because she would gain knowledge and understanding. Then Adam, I'm sure Adam took the apple just, well, I don't want Eve to be mad at me, right? Sometimes husbands, you'll do something just for peace in the home, right? You know, or maybe he just was, whatever it was, he was still in the wrong, right? He shouldn't have done it. And Adam, either out of curiosity or he noticed that Eve didn't die, so I guess I won't die, right? So he ate the fruit as well. And then when God confronted them, they start the blame game, right? The woman you gave me, Lord, you know, she tricked me, or she did this and I followed her. And then the woman says, it's the snake, you know, he's so tricky and he beguiled me. And no one took responsibility. So what is the lesson learned? What is the lesson learned? Stay focused and committed to putting God first in your life and not letting the things of this world or circumstances in your life ever change the order of your passion. God always needs to be number one passion in your life. And that's how you keep a life of peace, a life of victory, a life of purpose, a life of intention, a life of vision, a life of destiny. Putting God first in your life is how you answer the call. Amen? Amen. Putting God first in your life is how you answer the call of God. I said it that way because I could say, how many of you want to answer God's call for your life? All of us, right? But there's only one way to just fully enter into that calling, and you enjoy the benefits and fruits and the blessings of answering that call. There's only one way, and that's putting Jesus first in your life. There's only one way, because all the other ways, you'll hit a lot of detours. When God's not first in your life and you're leaving that lukewarm and you're going back and forth, you're going to keep hitting those detours and you're going to keep getting redirected. And then God, because he loves you and he's merciful and he's patient and he's graceful, will try to get your attention and bring you back in and start again for that calling. And it happens over and over and over, because he'll leave the 99 to find you every time. But there is a moment that you know, God's won't always, there is an end to that. His mercy is great. There is an end where you go off in your own way and it's over, right? You may be in an accident or something and it's over. But while we're still here on earth and have air in our lungs, he's going to keep chasing us, pursuing us, because he loves us. So what I want as members of this church, as the congregation of this church, is I feel my responsibility is to direct you and encourage you to have passion and put him first in your life, because the blessings, the callings, is just all so good there. And I don't want you to go through all the detours and the wilderness of 40 years like the children of Israel did. There's that road, and that road is not pleasant, and that road isn't fun. It leads to turmoil. It leads to lack of peace. It leads to anxiety. It leads to a lot of things that aren't what God wants you to be in. Put him number one in everything, even in the storms of life. Put him number one. Put him number one. You know, Sarah has discovered that she has this gift of drawing. So I guess we've discovered it. So she draws these little pictures of characters. And we asked her to draw Casey, and we were telling her, okay, draw her, and Casey was like, have me wearing this, whatever. And then I said, and make her happy and smiling, and I said, okay, when you finish that, draw her in like a storm cloud, and in the bottom put peace in the storm. So she did it. She drew it, and it was great. I was just like, that's awesome. So the Pope, I said, see, you just drew this picture of someone peaceful, smiling, happy, and storms all around her, and yet at peace. And part of putting God first is that picture. having peace no matter what your situation is. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying, oh, it's a... But I'm saying that is what God promises us in His Word. Peace in the storm. That's what God promises us. That's the plan He has for us. It's a good plan. And the storms don't last forever. They end, and there'll be victory, and you'll take ground. You'll keep taking ground for His kingdom. So in closing, I want to read a few scriptures about commitment to God. If you'll turn to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3. Commit. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. You know, when you put God first in your life, He will establish your thoughts and your direction and where you're headed in life. He will guide you and lead you. He will. You got to trust Him. You got to do things right according to His scripture, and you got to trust Him. You got to trust Him. Do things right. Set things right and trust Him, and you will not be disappointed. He will bless you. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, you know, Timothy was a very important character. You know, when Paul was going all over outside of in that Middle East area, Corinth, Greece, and Romans, and all that area, Paul was a missionary. One of the people he developed to take his place or to disciple was Timothy. And Timothy was a big part of Paul's ministry. And he writes books to him, and that's this book here, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. He tells Paul this. He says, well, let's start in 14. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words nor profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. So he's basically telling Timothy, remember everything that I'm teaching you as a good, be a good soldier of Christ, and all that. And he says in verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This goes back to being intentional, to having purpose. We need to be purposeful in learning more about God and doing things God's way and learning the scriptures. And part of that is coming to church on Sunday morning and learning, like we're learning together today. I got to keep God first in my life because the enemy, you know, we're learning that today. We got to keep Him first. But it's also what you do outside of Sunday morning church is continuing to seek for more of Him in your life. And this is what Paul was telling Timothy. You need to study. You need to be study to find the truth of the gospel. So the last scripture here in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. And this is important. And it basically says this. Don't ever get tired of putting God first in your life. Don't ever get tired of well-doing. Don't ever get tired of doing things the right way. And it says, in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. Amen. 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 It's a good story. It's a good lesson. We have to keep God first. Amen. And I think the reason that scripture is there is because He knew we would get weary. Our human nature, right? Like, where are the results, Lord? Where? I've been praying, I've been believing, but where? But the Bible makes it clear. Trust and obey, and don't get weary. Victory is assured. It takes faith, right? It takes faith. Amen. And there's many Bible stories, and we're going to cover some of them in the next few weeks about people who kept Christ first, had passion for God no matter what they went through. They kept Jesus first. Story after story after story. And that's our motivation, and that's what we can look to as an example. to keep God first, He will bless us and He will do a good work. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for helping us to see this morning the importance of being purposeful, of being intentional to keep you first in our lives. Your word is full of promises. Your word is full of assurances and of wisdom and knowledge about how we're supposed to live our lives and how you are going to bring us to victory and how you're going to empower us to overcome sin and death. Lord, help us to be passionate about this, to be passionate about this word, to be passionate about our relationship with you, to be bold with our co-workers, to be bold with our friends and family, to be bold in what we believe, that Jesus Christ always needs to be first in our lives. Lord, and whenever something creeps up that we begin to put before you, Lord, we pray that you sit us down on that green pasture, that you lie us down beside the still water, and you guide us into all truth. I know the people in this church love you with all their hearts, have passion for you. But the enemy is subtle. He tries to sneak in. So, Lord, we ask for wisdom. We ask for direction. We ask to be empowered by your Holy Spirit to be people of passion and to answer that call, to answer the call that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.